Okay, we're going to have our report by our State Water Resources Control Board liaison, Stephen Moore. Good morning.
Good morning, Chair Young and members of the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. I'm Steve Moore. I'm your liaison from the State Water Resources Control Board. I'm a board member there. And thank you for accommodating my schedule to come on your second day of your meeting today. Selfishly, I'm very interested in the post-construction stormwater requirements on your agenda today, but that didn't drive necessarily that decision. In my report today, I'll go over some of the things going on in Sacramento that affect this region. There are things that don't affect this region so much, like, the Delta and the Klamath River and all that. But I'd like to focus on those things of more interest here regionally. And first of all, it was a pleasure to attend the San Clemente Dam removal ceremony for the Carmel River reroute. And it was great to see Dr. Hunter, Board Member Hunter there, as well as other colleagues from the State Coastal Conservancy and NOAA Fisheries. But it was a very inspirational event because it really brought together all the interests and highlighted the cooperation that was necessary to really pull off such a visionary project. And there hasn't been a project like that really put together in our state at this magnitude in terms of retiring the dam and figuring out collectively, what the best course is going forward that would be most sustainable. So that was a great ceremony. As somebody astutely pointed out at the time, in any construction project, there's really only 2 days where everybody is happy and getting along, and that's the groundbreaking, which we were at, and then the ribbon cutting. Everything else is very hard work and hard negotiation. But it was nice to take a deep breath and celebrate that. I didn't get to attend the state board meeting at the dam because of other commitments that I had. So speaking of which, yesterday I had another commitment, and it relates a little bit to what's on your agenda today, but maybe more broadly. Nationally, the issue of integrated water management is really starting to come to the forefront, driven a lot by the cities of the United States that have combined sewer systems. A lot of the issues that, in places like Salinas and other larger cities in your region, where we struggle to manage the stormwater runoff and all of its challenges and opportunities. It's highlighted maybe in several orders of magnitude in places like Philadelphia, Baltimore, Milwaukee, Kansas City. Everyone in the Central Division of the National League, or the Eastern. Now, these are Midwestern cities that are struggling with meeting water quality standards, but then are also seeing this opportunity of integrated water management, where you can, really take advantage of stormwater as a resource, not something to be feared and managed and quickly disposed of. So it was great to get. As a state water board member, to have that opportunity to interface with the national challenges, right? But also to reaffirm this vision that California has about integrated water management and, trying to address the systemic factors that challenge our ability to meet clean water goals. I like to try to simplify it. And there's a lot of science behind it, but it comes down to the curb and gutter, to the lawn, these cultural choices we made that have solved or addressed one goal but have had side effects. So as we move to the 21st century, and this was my talk yesterday to the what was the U.S. Conference of Mayors, so people, mayors of cities from around the country and their staffs, was we're at this point of moving from 20th century water management structure to 21st century water management structure. And part of that story is what you're talking about today on your agenda, is changing the way we develop land to protect water, but also to ensure the sustainability of our water supply and flood protection and and all of these other facets of water. So just wanted to share with you that, you know, we're at the forefront in a lot of ways right here with what you're trying to do at the Central Coast in terms of reusing that runoff more efficiently. So taking a step back, just giving you a little updates from the day-to-day in Sacramento. You know, we are at the State Water Board facing a challenge this year because of the we're going to have to increase our fees to support our basic core functions at the state and regional boards. And so that's going to be a dialogue that we're going to have in the next couple months. We've been trying to address concerns about the costs of compliance with a collaborative process with MPDES permit holders, and to try to encourage economies of scale and other ways we can be more efficient in terms of meeting permit requirements. We have a lot of detail proposals coming out of the POTW group, you know, the CASA and CWEA kind of organizations. So we're exploring ways to, as a state board, encourage our different regions and our own staff at DWQ to pursue ways to encourage compliance, meet clean water goals, but do so more cost effectively. And that's something I acknowledge that as a regional board alumnus, that's something we've done, but we want to encourage throughout the state. So that's going to take up some of our time and energy. I'll say, you know, in terms of being more cost-effective and efficient, I'm pleased to share about some improvements, I believe, in our Clean Water State Revolving Fund process. This is something where the state board and staff are very committed to continuous improvement and trying and recognizing that this function of the state board is critical, is efficiently moving money to the local level to build things to protect clean water, you know. And we take it very seriously from staff level all the way to the board. So on May 7th, we approved an amendment to the policy for implementing the CWSRF program, State Revolving Fund program. And the main objectives were process streamlining, clarifying financing requirements, and providing additional flexibility and features for financing recipients. Just to give you a high-level example, instead of calling our project list, you know, the priority list, implying that some cities or communities have a higher priority than others because their application was snazzier, we call it a project list, because there's no priority, you know, in terms of these clean water grants and loans. It's all a priority. This is an issue statewide. And so right there we send a signal that this is a project list, you know. If you apply for SRF funding, the reality is it's probably going to be there for you. It's not a situation like some of the grant programs where it's really, let's say, cutthroat competition, you know. And so we're trying to communicate better with those who would receive these grants and loans. So we have revamped the application. We have a new planning design financing application, and we've been updating our record keeping to reduce redundancy in our paperwork, and taking advantage of you know, technology and really being more efficient. So I think it's important. This is sort of a nuts and bolts thing, but I actually personally have applied for SRF funding on behalf of a client, you know, a couple of years ago. It's when I was in the private sector. It was not easy, you know, and it's just inspirational to me that staff really has been responsive to our customers, our partners, to improve that process. And we want to get more input on how we're doing. Moving along, as part of, there's a pending industrial stormwater general permit. You've been hearing that from me probably since I became liaison a year ago in this room. And it's been a challenge, but We've been trying to work out issues a little more upfront before the draft goes out in the street so that we're not spending a lot of time responding to comments and have a better product that for commenting on. And we also have complemented this with staff's effort to facilitate implementation of the permit by holding training sessions. So in Sacramento and Riverside, we did have training sessions for folks who would be filing notices of intent to comply with the permit. And we're really focusing on sharpening stormwater inspection and report writing skills. So we sort of combine this with our Training Academy's College of Stormwater, and that's an effort to really get into the technical details of implementing our complex programs. I'd be remiss not to mention that I was here in the region a couple weeks ago as part of the desalination policy stakeholder outreach effort and stakeholder input effort. I personally attended two of the stakeholder meetings. One was in San Francisco, which was in the other region, but that was with more of the environmental interests, and then we met with more of the municipal industrial interests in Santa Cruz over on June 27th. In these meetings, we discuss overarching issues related to the proposed amendment that deals with, you know, the intake of ocean water. What's the best available technology? What are the expectations if you can't do subsurface intake? If you do a surface intake, surface water intake, what kind of structure in the policy should be there to make sure we provide equivalent protection as a subsurface intake, which is a cutting-edge technology. It's available on subsurface, but the scale at implementation that we are contemplating in the state of California is larger than existing facilities for subsurface intakes. Just to give you a little glimpse into some of the detailed discussions going on. So as always, in California, we want to push the envelope on what's environmentally protective, but we have to be cautious not to overreach in terms of what's practical. And so we're working through the details and getting input up front about what, you know, where are the boundaries of what our policy, where it should fit within, you know, in terms of environmental protection and engineering practicality and cost effectiveness. We reconvened the expert review panel on this policy to provide scientific information to staff on development of the amendment, and the review panel has been asked to specifically provide information on three topics. One, the potential for zooplankton mortality or increased turbidity associated with high-pressure diffusers on outfall lines. The idea that there's this turbulence around outfall lines, if you have high pressure to create mixing, are you going to cause problems physically to organisms through the, you know, the sheer stresses of that water coming out of the diffuser? And if it, does it increase turbidity? Also, we're asking for more input on mitigation fees for unavoidable mortality of aquatic life associated with those intake operations. And then finally, three, if funding allows, we're trying to get comments on a study by one of the municipal interests, West Basin Municipal Water District. They're from Southern California around Redondo Beach area. And they did a study on the efficacy of 1 millimeter screens to reduce intake entrainment mortality. So we wanted to have the science panel review that study. We've seen it, and it's thought-provoking. So wanted to bring you a little bit of the details. We know this is an important issue here for the Central Coast region, and want to engage you as much as possible. You know, it was on your agenda yesterday, and I apologize for not being here, the Pinto Lake Nutrient Study update. Are involved in terms of there's a grant. I don't know if you spoke about that yesterday, but there's a state board grant from the cleanup abatement account to the city of Watsonville. And so there's a report's due on October 1st, and the final report on this grant is due November 1st, according to the information I've been given. Potential next steps for the short and long-term protection of those beneficial uses of the waters will be determined after we've considered the recommendations and conclusions of this final report. So we're engaged. We recognize the seriousness. We know it hits close to home, right, in terms of how important it is. But rest assured, this issue of biotoxins, it's an emerging issue, and not just Pinto Lake. It's an issue we're seeing come up in all areas, including the Delta. Klamath River is sort of where we've seen the most significant impacts statewide, but this is an issue that relates to our overall nutrient management strategy, and so I want to acknowledge that. Has anybody ever heard of the term fracking? Yeah, hydraulic fracturing. The industry likes us to make sure we call it hydraulic fracturing. Just want to let you know, our staff from our groundwater protection section and the groundwater ambient monitoring and assessment program, GAMMA as it's known, met on May 6th, May 22nd, June 4th with the staff from the Department of Conservation's Division of Oil, Gas, and Geothermal Resources. That group is known as DOGGR. And the purpose is to continue a dialogue related to DOGGR's draft regulations for hydraulic fracturing, and we're in there making sure that their regulations adequately address water quality issues. And we see a very central role for regional board staff of groundwater division to play in this, in terms of working closely and being the water quality expert that DOGGR relies on when hydraulic fracturing is proposed. And I think that's it. You know, I want to just mention, I know we're real interested in this AB 145, the idea of the drinking water program of Department of Public Health moving to the state, under the State Water Board, and, you know, working cooperatively with regional water boards. And I don't have a lot of detail to report on that, except that our staff has produced a very detailed report for the governor's office and all folks, Cal EPA, you know, the legislature, to look at how we would do it. So the state board staff have spent a lot of time and effort being careful about describing how we would manage such a transition. Again, as I've said before, I'm really neutral on this. The state water board would, if the legislature and the governor believe this is what needs to happen, we'll find a way to do it. And there are advantages and disadvantages. But clearly, we all agree this is, if not the most high priority, one of the highest priorities for water quality in the state, is to deal with this issue of safe drinking water for all communities. Okay, and with that, happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Moore? Thank you very much, Steve.
Great to see you.
Okay, good to see you.